Mr. Cleavon.
Blog Talk Radio.
The Cam.
All right, you guys, man, welcome back. Let's talk about it. We got a few more days before the big game at the end, and that is the Super Bowl for those who aren't ready to go. We got, thanks for tuning in, people. We got February 1st, best month of the year. Week number 24, we have the Atlanta Falcons facing the New England Patriots. Or should I say the Patriots facing the Atlanta Falcons this week in the Super Bowl. But let's look back at how these two teams got here. We had the Packers absolutely get dismantled by the Falcons a couple weeks ago. And then the Steelers really didn't stand up against the Patriots last 2 weeks ago. What was your thoughts on how the Falcons overcame the Patriots, or excuse me, the Packers, and the Patriots overcame the Steelers? What's your thoughts? Give me some quick thoughts on those games.
Well, for my money, Cam, I think, and not just my money, but a lot of people's money, that everybody saw Aaron Rodgers go down in Dallas and play at an unbelievable level and kind of had that same level of expectation when he went into Atlanta. However, the Falcons proved, once again, as they did against my Seahawks, that that offense is virtually unstoppable unless you really have a whole lot of time to game plan. We'll get into that later. And that even it would have to have been Aaron Rodgers at his very best to beat that team. And he wasn't at his very best. And, you know, the results are what they are. With relation to Pittsburgh going to New England, once we saw Le'Veon Bell leave the game injury, there was really no chance that they were going to win that game. Again, like he said in his victory speech that was, you know, broadcast to the entire world via Antonio Brown on Facebook Live, that he was already upset that they said that they had the 36-hour heads up, and they used it to their advantage without Gronkowski. I'm having to hear about some guy named Chris Hogan way too much. I'm having to hear about Julian Edelman and how much he wants to compete and get open way too much. LeGarrette Blount is just a battering ram. Didn't do that when he was in Pittsburgh, but did that as soon as they cut him and went back to New England, which is why I can't really ride with that dude. But they did what they had to do, and they're back in the game. They're back in the big game, time in Tom Brady's career.
Well, that's kind of impressive, slightly impressive on the part of Mr. Brady and the New England Patriots. I'll give him credit for 7 AFC championships, which is, you know, impressive. There's no other way to say about it to mention it. But this week, I think there's a new kid on the block, and they're just excited to kind of make something happen, and we're going to see what the Falcons are able to do. And it's going to be a daunting task. You give Bill Belichick 2 weeks to work on a game plan. You know, chances are he's actually going to surpass that game plan. But the Falcons can come at you in so many different ways and angles and directions. And New England Patriots will have to be 100% on top of their game, and they're going to have to put up 30 points. I see the Falcons putting up 31 to 35 points on Sunday. I see the Patriots putting up maybe 24 to 27 points. So I'm going with the Falcons victory. What say you, sir?
I would say that in my heart, I just don't want to see Tom Brady win a 5th Super Bowl and just have to hear about Tom Brady for the next 25 years. And that the 3 points is Vegas saying they don't know either, because otherwise Super Bowls are usually not very close, and Vegas knows one way or the other which way they're going to lean, and they shift the points right that way. If you just say, oh, a field goal, I mean, that, you know, what does that really mean? So when I look at these two teams on paper, I look at the Falcons as, I don't want to say the same as the greatest show on turf, but probably from what I've seen, the most unstoppable offense since then. They have a receiver that's capable of catching for 300 yards at any given time. Now, granted, he's a Ferrari, and he can only bring Ferraris out when it's not raining on smooth road and it's just straight and no turns or, you know, nothing impeding their progress, which is what he does. Still hasn't really practiced all week, so that goes to tell you something. But the way they throw to their backs out of the backfield, the way they throw to their tight ends, the way they run their routes, it puts a lot of pressure on your defense. And I'm not sure that the Patriots have a defense that can hold up. However, on the other side of the ledger, you do have Bill Belichick with the 2 weeks. You do have Tom Brady, who's still mad, who just can't wait for Roger Goodell to hand him that trophy and look at him all awkward and funny, and is relishing the opportunity to make him do that. I would take the Patriots, but I wouldn't be super confident about it.
I got you down for the Patriots. Like I said, I just gave you my breakdown. I think the Patriots, I mean, I'm expecting a pretty good game.
You didn't tell me why. You did say we thought the Falcons would win. You thought that the Patriots would have to score so many points that they weren't capable of doing against that defense, but you didn't really tell me why.
Falcons are going to win because they're going to obviously score more points. They're going to score 31 to 34 points. That's what I anticipated. Whether it's they get a couple touchdowns from the running back, or a touchdown from the receivers, two touchdowns from the various receivers, one from you know, Julio Jones and whoever, Gabriel, Sanu, whoever's on the other side. I think they're not going to – Julio Jones is going to have a big game, but he'll be somewhere close to the 100 yards, and he'll have a big catch for a big TD. And I expect 30 – minimum four touchdowns, field goal, 31 points out of the Atlanta Falcons. I just don't think New Orleans or New England is going to be able to – a couple things. So either – I think on the offensive side for New England, the game's going to go a couple ways. Dan Quinn has a game plan for New England Patriots. Being, as you know, this is his third Super Bowl in 4 years. So he has a game plan for the New England Patriots. I think he'll be able to slow them down enough. His cornerbacks are facing number two receivers. To keep them in front of them, don't get beat deep, and play. Just that's all you have to do. You don't have to gamble on their defense. Doesn't have to gamble because Matt Ryan's going to put pressure on Tom Brady. It sounds funny, I know, but Matt Ryan's going to put pressure on Tom Brady by scoring points. The defense doesn't have to play outside of their natural game plan. Keep the defense in front of them. Bend, don't break. Give up 21 points. You can easily win this football game. And that's what I anticipate. The Atlanta Falcons, their offense is just too explosive. New England's defense, mediocre is not the proper word, but they're opportunistic. They take advantage of when Tom Brady goes up 10-0, their defense is able to pin their ears back and rush the quarterback. I don't think they're going to be up 10-0 in this game. I think they're likely to be down 10-0, and that's going to put pressure on Tom Brady. I just don't think New England's defense is going to be able to stop Atlanta Falcons' offense. And that's where I think the game is going to be won. I think Dan Quinn has something has some familiarity with the New England offense and be able to slow them down enough so his offense can get back on the field and score some points. That's how I see the game going. That's what I anticipate. That's how I think Atlanta Falcons will win 31 to 34. They're going to score 31 to 34 points. New England's going to score somewhere 28 points. That's what I expect. And so, obviously, the team with the bigger number wins. Any objections to that? The game going that way?
No. And the Falcons are certainly capable of doing that. And I think that it's up to Matt Ryan to prove that he's that guy.
And
if he does that, and Devontae Freeman catches enough passes out of the backfield, and Tevin Coleman gives him that change of pace, that little change of direction, and then Gabriel with his crossing routes, I haven't seen anybody stop him in the last 10 weeks. So, hey, man, it's certainly a possibility.
Ding, ding, ding,
but
ding, ding, ding,
ding. Putting your hard-earned money down, you got to go with the guy that's been there 7 times as a head coach and a quarterback, and the guy that's been there 3 other times besides that.
I mean, if you want to go with chalk, I mean, if you're just uncomfortable stepping outside of the boundary and just going with chalk, go with chalk, and that's the appearance of what you've
right.
done. So,
that's what I'm saying. If I had to put cheese on it, I'm going with chalk. My heart obviously wants Atlanta to win because I don't want to see Tom Brady get another Super Bowl and it just be no longer a conversation or an argument as to who the best quarterback of all time is. No, I don't want that. I would much rather see Atlanta, and I think they're certainly capable, but I think with all of the things that are going on, the nuances, I'm not sure that they're there.
Okay.
For
for
3 points in my cast, but we'll see what happens.
That's why they play the game, right? That is
why they play the game.
And I don't think the Falcons can get shut down, and I certainly hope
somebody has pulled the film for the Atlanta Falcons on the New England Patriots versus the St. Louis Rams.
I certainly hope somebody has pulled that film. And Dan Quinn, I mean, I didn't actually suggest that when I talked to him over the weekend, but he gave me confidence that he knows what he's doing, and he may not even have to pull the film. But
okay, well, he's seen him, and he held him in check for 3.5 quarters.
That's my
point. Yeah.
That is my point. So they know they're going to hold. Quinn knows that on defense, New England's going to hold and grab every chance they get. They know that. Their offense, fortunately, their offense isn't just predicated on fast, quick receivers. Their offense is more so, and I think you mentioned it earlier, I think what's going to be the bigger advantage is Tevin Coleman out the backfield, Devontae Freeman out the backfield. I think that's going to be a huge advantage for Atlanta Falcons versus the run-stopper linebackers that New England has. They can't cover these guys out the backfield. And I'm looking for a big game out of these running backs. I'm looking for a very efficient game from Matty Ice. And, you know, it's kind of hard. When you key on one or two players and you go 17 for 24 and Julio Jones has 8 catches, you know, that becomes the offense easy to stop. But when you're going 28 for 32 and you have 8 receivers who catch in 13 different passes, I mean, that becomes really difficult to stop, and that's the groove that the Falcons are in. And I think that's going to be if they continue that, that's going to be their advantage. The versatile offense that they have, they can run the ball, they can pass the ball. They have multiple receivers who can catch the ball, multiple running backs who can run and catch the ball. That's going to be their advantage. I just think they're going to be able to get more points up on the board than New England Patriots, obviously, at the end of the game. So I'm going with I don't want the points. I don't need the points. But since you're giving them, I'll take the points, and I'm going with Atlanta straight up.
Fair enough.
Sir, Cleveland, I want to thank you, man. I understand you had some challenges the last couple of weeks, so thank you for calling back in and tuning back into the show, because the people want to hear what you got to say. And you made a ridiculous comment, and I've tried to defend you the last couple of weeks, but it's time for you to defend yourself. You made a comment that Terrell Davis, former Denver running back, is not a Hall of Fame football player. I'm not sure if you understand how ridiculous you sound when you say that.
but you sound pretty ridiculous when you say that. And just
okay. Yeah,
I'm gonna give you a moment. I'm gonna give you a moment to defend yourself in that ridiculous comment. But in comparison to, I just want to mention a few names out there, and then I have to eat a little crow at the same time. Terrell Davis, number one, is a Hall of Famer without a doubt. Number two, and this what sparked this conversation a couple weeks ago was the LaDainian Tomlinson getting the invite or being on the finalist list for the Hall of Fame. I don't think LaDainian Tomlinson is a Hall of Famer. Mainly because of his production in the playoffs. I understand he led the league in rushing with 28 touchdowns. I get that. 1,815 yards that particular season, 348 carries. I get it. Okay. He had a really impressive 5.2 yard per carry average. However, when you play for Monty Schottenheimer, who's, you know, three yards of dust and punt, you're going to have some advantages as a running back that others don't have. And he was very fortunate to have played with Marty Schottenheimer, and Marty Schottenheimer give him the ball as much as he did. And I'd like to ask you, how many AFC championships has the San Diego Chargers played in? How many Super Bowls with LaDainian Tomlinson starting in the backfield has the San Diego Chargers played in? Can you answer that question for me, Mr. Clemont?
I certainly can. And the answer is zero. He's played in zero.
Oh.
They didn't play any AFC championship games.
Oh,
they didn't play any Super Bowls. But if I could have the podium for just one moment, I will completely dissolve your argument in every way, shape, form, or fashion.
Right,
if I could just have the podium for a second.
You have the podium for about 5 minutes to make your ridiculous argument. But just give me a moment.
Okay, perfect. That's plenty of time. Please continue.
So just to backtrack a little bit, you said LT, LaDainian Tomlinson, never made the AFC championship?
I did say that.
And he never went to the Super Bowl?
No, you're not.
Wow. And yet he led the league in rushing. What happened? What happened those years when he was so hot and he led the team in rushing and they got to the playoffs? What type of playoff production did he have?
They lost a few playoff games.
I have stats here, in fact. I have stats to show he played LaDainian Tomlinson 10 playoff games, okay? He averaged per game 46 yards a carry, 46 yards per game rushing in those 10 playoff games. Okay, you want to know his playoff yard per carry average? He has a career. He doesn't have a career average. His best 3-year average, he's at 5.0 yards per carry. In his best 3 years, 2002, 2003, 2006, two of those years he averaged 5.1, 5.2. In the playoffs, he averaged 3.6 yards a carry. That's not Hall of Famer player. That's not Hall of Fame football to me, in my opinion. Your numbers can't get worse in the playoffs when the money is on the line. You already mentioned he didn't carry his team to the Super Bowl. You already mentioned he didn't carry his team to an AFC championship. His numbers got worse in the playoffs. That's hard to get inducted to the Hall of Fame when you don't produce in the playoffs. I'll just counteract that by saying, I have a player, number 24, you retired from the Seattle Seahawks a couple years ago. His best 3-year average, 2012, 2013, 2014, he was at 5 yards a carry, 4.2, 4.7. In the playoffs, he was a 4.9. Marshawn Lynch, number 24 for the Seattle Seahawks, in his best 3 years, averaged 86, 5 yards a carry, a game. In the playoffs, there's no drop-off. He added 85.2 yards a carry. No drop-off there. Hall of Fame type performer. Does Marshawn Lynch have a Super Bowl?
He does have a Super Bowl, yes.
He might even have two if the coaches decided to actually run the ball, right? Would you agree with that?
That's fair. That's a fair assessment.
I'm gonna leave this alone. Hey, well, let me give you one more. Let me give you one more bit of number. In fact, I'm gonna leave that alone. You tell me. No, I'm sorry. Let me backtrack. One more argument, and then you can have your 5 minutes. Another running back that somebody wants to compare to LT and or Terrell Davis. I heard this guy named Priest Holmes, his best 3 years, 2001, 2002, 2003. He averaged 4.8 collectively, 4.8, 5.2, 4.4. Okay, he averaged, hovered around 100 yards, 97 yards a game, 115 yards a game, 88 yards a game. In the playoffs, his numbers actually rose, 5.3 yards a carry. Although it was five games, 5.3 yards a carry, 44 yards a game. Flexible running back, but his numbers improved in the playoffs. Even though Priest Holmes is not a Hall of Famer, his numbers improved in the playoffs. That's what you want to see, improvement when the crunch time starts. The floor is yours, sir.
Okay, thanks so much. And you made a compelling, interesting argument for why Terrell Davis should be a Hall of Famer, and now I'm going to completely shut your argument down as to why he's not a Hall of Famer. I'm going to do it real quick. It's not going to be all grandiose. It's going to be real quick. Terrell Davis is the 55th all-time leading rusher in the history of the NFL.
55, okay.
He only has four seasons of rushing over 1,000 yards. He only played seven seasons, and his other three seasons, he ran for 211 yards, 282 yards, and 701 yards. Those are Christian Michael. Those are Christian Michael numbers. Okay. Certainly nothing that's gonna put you in the Hall of Fame. Okay.
Okay.
Let me name a few running backs that are in front of him as far as on the all-time leading rusher list: Garrison Hurst, Gerald Riggs, Willis McGahee, Stephen Davis, Chris Warren. Now, which one of those guys is a Hall of Famer? I'll answer for you. None of them are Hall of Famers. But they all have more yards than Terrell Davis, okay? Terrell Davis's three best years, which were prolific years, 1,500, 1,750, 2008. I will take Sean Alexander's best 3 years, 1,400, 1,700, 1,900 yards. But in those seasons, he scored 16, 20, and 28 touchdowns. No one even remotely thinks Sean Alexander is a Hall of Famer. And back to your Priest Holmes argument. Oh, my goodness. 1,600, 1,425. 10, 24, and 27 touchdowns from scrimmage. The most yards from scrimmage of any player in the league all of those seasons. Four really good years, as a matter of fact, four fantastic years, does not make you a Hall of Famer in any sport. Why would I be taking a running back that had 3 years under 800 yards, 2 years under 300 yards, and take him to the Hall of Fame and put a gold jacket on his back?
You want me to answer that? You want me to answer that?
Because he has some playoff success?
Do you want me to answer that?
Playing with a Hall of Fame quarterback and a Hall of Fame tight end and two Hall of Fame linemen? That's crazy.
Okay.
Okay. It's blasphemy. I mean, you heard the numbers that I just threw at you.
I did.
And there's no formula that you can put together that's going to equate to a Hall of Fame jacket for Terrell Davis at 7,607 yards.
All right, that's absolutely crazy.
The only other person in the Hall of Fame with less than 10,000 yards running the ball is Gale Sayers.
I got to cut. Are you ready?
And we all know that was a mistake.
I got to cut you off. I got to cut you off, Mr. Cleveland. I appreciate the argument. However, as faulty as it may be, I appreciate the argument. So you asked why it's a real Hall of Famer.
There's no fault in that argument.
Terrell Davis is a Hall of Famer because of what you do in a regular season and what you do in the playoffs. You cannot write the history of the NFL without leaving Terrell Davis out of the book. Okay, Terrell Davis. There's certain numbers in sports that once you eclipse these numbers, you kind of put you in the pantheon of the best ever. 2,000 yards, that's in football. You get 2,000 yards, you're automatically one of the best ever that played the game, period. End of story.
So Jamal Lewis is the Hall of Famer then. So Jamal Lewis is the Hall of Famer.
I didn't say that. Listen.
But then you just said 2,000 yards rushing is one of those numbers that puts you in the hall. Why isn't Jamal Lewis got a gold jacket on?
Because he only did it once. Can I finish? Jamal Lewis, first of all, he had a hell of a season. You and I know, without even looking up that season, who carried that team to the Super Bowl. Jamal Lewis had an excellent year. I'm not taking anything away from Jamal Lewis. But when your best career numbers are 1364, 1367, you have a spike at 2,056. Those are awesome numbers, but that's one season. Let's look at playoff production. So now we have already talked about, and so we had talked about his numbers and why he deserves to be in the Hall of Fame because of his regular season production. Now let's look at his playoff production. I talked to you earlier about how some of these other playoffs, how these running backs fall off in the playoffs. Number one, second point, Terrell Davis was the league MVP for a season and an NFL, in the Super Bowl most valuable player. The year he was the Super Bowl most valuable player was the year he averaged playoffs, mind you, he averaged 142 yards a game. He averaged 5.6 yards a carry, surpassing any other running back numbers in NFL history. So you give me 55 people ahead of him, you can't name five people who have a better playoff average. And he has eight games with over 200 yards, 200 carries. So that's a five-yard average. That puts him in the Hall of Fame. Super Bowl MVP.
Okay, So we're completely discarding the 211 yards, the 282 yards, and the 700 yards, which is half of his career. The only other year he rushed for over 1,000 yards, less those 3 years, he rushed for 1,100 yards.
Cleavon.
You know how many running backs rushed for 1,100 yards in the league?
Cleavon.
I would maybe 500?
Cleavon, you started off your argument by saying he's number five in the all-time yards rushing list.
Right.
I'm not even sure why you dug that far. I'm not saying he has a better –
Because I had to dig that far to find Terrell Davis on the list. That's the whole point.
Good point.
I had to dig to 55 to even find his name.
Good point. Now, this week, I want you to dig and find – somebody who has a better yard per carry in the playoffs, yard per game in the playoffs, and produce what he produced in the playoffs. He actually had 12 touchdowns.
Okay.
As well.
And I'll try to find somebody that has a better completion percentage in the playoffs than Alex Smith or Jeff Hostetler.
I'll look for that too.
You're
completely off base now. He deserves the exception. Terrell Davis deserves the exception that Gale Sayers got. It was an injury exception.
Why?
He played.
We've already said that was a mistake. Why does he deserve that exception?
Who said it was a mistake? Okay.
211, 282, 700 yards is how he ended his career.
Why is that irrelevant? That's 3 years of his 7 year career. He only played 7 years.
7 years. He played 3 years longer than Gale Sayers. He deserved the same exception for the same reason that Gale Sayers does. When he played, there was no one better at the position than him. No one.
Then say that.
When he played.
You don't got to give him a gold jacket because when he played for those 3 years, he was dope. That's ridiculous.
Nobody was better than him those three seasons. Not Emmitt Smith, not Barry Sanders. Nobody was better than Terrell Davis when he played for those years. He carried the team. And I'm not sure why, is it hate for the Broncos? I'm not a Broncos fan, but I know
there's absolutely no hate for the Broncos. There's absolutely no hate for Terrell Davis. But when you tell me that four of his seasons, three of them are not over 700 yards, and he only played 7 years, what are you telling me about those 3 years? Which one's the anomaly? The 3 years or the 4 years he didn't do any of that?
He deserved.
That's not a complete body of work. That's a three year span where he was lighting it up.
Cleveland.
For 3 years. Through the playoffs? Yeah.
3 years in the regular season? And 3 years in the playoffs, there was nobody better than Terrell Davis. And I'm not sure what you're grasping. I'm not sure what you're grasping at that. Cleveland, let me tell you something. When does players make their name? Whenever players make their name, when? Do they make their name
in
the regular season?
They make their name in the playoffs. They make their fame.
Thank you.
That's absolutely true.
This guy. But in the playoffs, he averaged 5.6. Let me tell you something else. This guy, there's a guy named Eric Dickerson. 1,300 yards over, I think it was a 9-year career. He averaged 4.9. Barry Sanders. We all know Eric Dickerson, Barry Sanders. I mean, they're one or two on the list, however you want to argue it. He averaged 4.2. He averaged 4.2 yards per carry.
Okay, thank you.
In the playoffs.
And how many seasons did Barry Sanders rush for over 1,100 yards? How many seasons did Eric Dickerson rush for over 1,100 yards? And both of those guys have those 2,000 yards.
I'm not talking about milestones
that you hold so dear, which is why you're giving Terrell Davis a pass and completely forgetting about the other 4 years. You can't forget about years when you're talking about a Hall of Fame career, when you're talking about an entire body of work. How are you going to throw out 4 years? Four out of seven. Not 4 out of 12. Not 4 out of 9. 4 out of 7. More than half of his career he didn't rush for those yards.
He didn't play a whole career. And even not playing a whole career,
he didn't play a whole career. But you want to put a gold jacket on his back?
I'm giving him a gold jacket 2 years ago. I'm giving him a gold jacket for his performance.
Man, give Antonio LeBron a gold jacket. Give him a gold jacket. Give anybody that's had a great 3 year run a gold jacket.
See, you're changing the narrative. You're changing the narrative. I am not.
The narrative is the same.
It's not. I'm not saying Terrell Davis is the best running back ever. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying he deserved to be in the Hall of Fame because there's not many better running backs in the Hall of Fame better than him that produced in the playoffs. And I have numbers. I can tell you right now. You name a running back who has better playoff numbers. You're not going to find it. I can tell you that you're not going to find it. You're not going to find. There's not a running back. But you're talking about
for 3 years, and you haven't given me Thurman Thomas' numbers, and you haven't given me Marshall Faulk's numbers, and you haven't given me Edgerrin James' numbers. You're talking about a three-year span. And his 3 years, I just named two running backs whose numbers are equal less the playoff games.
You want Marshall Faulk's numbers? Here's Marshall Faulk's numbers. 50 yards a game in the playoffs, 3.6 yards a carry in 165 games. That's what you want, Marshall Faulk's numbers right there. 602 yards.
So he's one, By the way, he's a Hall of Famer. So he won an NFL MVP. He's won. Maybe they gave his Super Bowl MVP to Kurt Warner that year. That's cool. They went back to back, just like Denver. What are you talking about?
They didn't win back to. They didn't win.
You're talking about eight games. That's what I'm saying. You're talking about these playoff games like they just completely overshadowed the rest of his career. The other four years where he didn't do shit.
They do.
211 yards. 211 yards. 282 yards. 701 yards.
That's how he ended his career. That's right. He was injured.
I want you to say that's not enough of a body of work to be a Hall of Famer.
Injury exception. I don't know why you're not trying to get
those out for the Hall. That's what I'm saying.
How did Gale Sayers get in there?
Empathy. Sympathy. He doesn't have Hall of Fame numbers. Everybody knows that.
He's the only motherfucker
in the Hall that doesn't have Hall of Fame numbers. He's the only guy.
Terrell should be number two.
Wow. Why?
Why? I just gave you regular season MVP.
In addition to that, we were talking about Gale Sayers. The years before injury are phenomenal.
Cleveland. So, out of those 55 guys, Gerald Riggs, I think you named, Garrison Hurst, who actually had what?
Garrison Hurst, Steven Davis, Chris Warren, Willis McGahee. Yeah.
Okay.
They all got more yards than Terrell.
Garrison Hurst, who was not a Hall of Fame running back, but probably had the best singular running play ever. The 92-yard run against the 49ers years ago. I don't know if you remember that. You probably don't remember that.
I do. It was fantastic.
However, how many of those 55 guys that you named that are ahead of Terrell Davis, how many of those have a Super Bowl MVP? How many of those have a league MVP? I'm not talking about had a hell of a year. I'm talking about the best in the league for that season.
That's Terrell Davis, man.
That
you cannot put somebody in the Hall of Fame because they had one really good year.
He didn't have one really good year. Sean Alexander had almost the exact same resume,
only better.
Who?
And Sean Alexander actually got robbed in the Super Bowl. Sean Alexander was the league MVP. He was the leading rusher in the league, and he ran for 28 touchdowns. 28.
Terrell Davis'
best season rushing touchdowns, 21.
That's irrelevant. That stat line, rushing TDs, is misleading. Okay, It's misleading.
It's misleading because he didn't really get those yards.
No. It's misleading because
they don't really mean anything when you take your team to the Super Bowl and get some bad officiating and lose.
No, man, it's misleading because if you play for Marty Schottenheimer, who's just going to feed it to any running back, whoever's on the team, he's going to feed them, as evidenced by Priest Holmes, as evidenced by LaDainian Thomas, you're going to have numbers. You're going to have numbers if you play for the
Marty Schottenheimer wasn't
coach.
Even the coach when Priest Holmes got all these yards. It was Dick Vermeil.
He
took the
about?
Greatest
no.
show on turf, moved it up to Kansas City, he went with Trent Green, Dante Hall, and Priest Holmes, and Tony Gonzalez.
Because Priest Holmes is not even an argument, Chief. Leave him alone. He's not even an argument. He's not even in the argument.
Priest Holmes is the argument.
He's not an argument, bro. He's not. Priest Holmes,
the argument. You already said his numbers increase in the playoffs. You already said what he did to that 3-year span was phenomenal.
I did not.
You already said he was the league MVP. What is the difference? A Super Bowl MVP?
Wait. Yes.
Jeff Hostetler and Brad Johnson.
Thank you. I think you finally came around. I think you finally, I think you said it on your own. You answered your own question. You answered your own question. What is the difference? Is it playoff performance? Is it Super Bowl performance? Yes, that is the difference. Yes, when you play against the best, you play against the best and you perform like the best, against the best, in the crunch time, sets you apart. That sets you apart, yes.
Not enough to overcome 211, 282, 700 yards. Not enough.
You ought to be ashamed of yourself, Mr. Cleveland.
Not enough,
You ought to
be ashamed of yourself for trying to put somebody in the Hall of Fame for having three great years.
You ought to be ashamed of yourself, sir. I'm thoroughly amazed at you right now. And I'm disappointed. I need to talk to your wife. I need to talk to your wife about
I'm disappointed in you without a somebody in the Hall of Fame for 3 years of an NFL career.
Three of the best years a running back has had. I need to get you some game paper. That's it. Cleveland, 142 yards a game in the playoff, bro? 142? Your guy, Priest Holmes, had a spike. He had 170 yards in the playoffs. The other games, he had less than 60 yards in the playoffs.
Dude, come on, man. You only play 5 or 6 games in the playoffs.
Terrell Davis played 8 games in the playoffs and averaged 142 yards a game.
Oh. You're gonna put somebody in the Hall of Fame because they had 8 good games? Do you hear yourself?
Cleveland.
The rest of his body of work does not even remotely add up. That's right. He had 8 great games.
I'm gonna give you a homework assignment. I'm gonna give you a homework assignment. Out of those 55 guys ahead of Terrell Davis, just tell me who has an NFL MVP, a league MVP, and a Super Bowl MVP. Just let me know that, and we'll talk next week. Because obviously you're not.
Is that all you got to do? Just do it once.
Huh?
And is that all you got to do? And then completely disregard the other yard, the other 300 yards, and the other season where he rushed for 700.
You're disregarding. You are completely disregarding the performance he had when he played against the best.
It's not substantial enough to outweigh the other 4 seasons. That's all I'm saying.
I disagree. But you find me out of these 55 guys who you claim, because you want to look at a sheet and say 55 guys are ahead of them, you tell me 55 guys who had a Super Bowl MVP and a league MVP. And you want to say it's off of 1 year. He did his back-to-back season, okay? He won the MVP. He won the league MVP and ran for 1,750 yards, turned around the next season and ran for 2,000 yards, okay? That's an increase. After he wins the Super Bowl, he's Super Bowl MVP, he comes back and goes for 2,000.
And then what did he do?
Leads the team to another Super Bowl.
And then what did he do?
Oh, he fell off the cliff
He ran for 211 yards. Then he ran for 282 yards. And then he ran for 701 yards.
So he ran for 1,100 yards after.
And,
Super Bowl
he ran for 1,100 yards in 3 years.
Yep. Okay, that's great. That's what, 350
no,
yards
that's
a game?
Not
3 years.
That's the whole point. It's not great.
You find me 2 guys out of your list of 55
guys. I think Alex Collins, or Seahawks, ran the 200 yards this year. So what?
You find 2 guys out of your list of 55 guys who had a better playoff
and you find a Hall of Famer
better.
That has three consecutive years where they rushed for 211, 282, and 701 yards. That's your homework. Find me another Hall of Famer that did that.
I'll find it. I'll find it.
Okay. Oh, please
I'll
do. Please do.
At the end
of their career, that rushed for less than 8,000 yards. I just made it more difficult, huh?
No, you didn't actually. You didn't actually.
Yeah, because there's nobody. Because there's nobody that's ever done that.
Well, I think I can find a couple.
Find me another Hall of Fame running back with two seasons with less than 300 yards.
I think I'm going to call and talk to your wife.
That worth like the 17th and 18th years in the league. I'm not talking about 6 and 7.
No, man, I'm gonna find you some stats to
please find that diamond in the rough, man. Would you please enlighten me?
You wanna talk about Garrison Hurst and Gerald Riggs? You wanna talk about Garrison Hurst and Gerald Riggs? I don't know what that has to do with the. We're talking about top flight running backs here, and you bring up Garrison Hurst and Gerald Riggs.
I'm talking about those guys having more yards, rushing yards, than Terrell Davis in their career.
Oh,
and
okay.
I'm quite sure. That either one of those guys had seasons with 211 and 282 yards.
Look, we gonna carry this on next week. Enjoy your weekend, man. Enjoy the Super Bowl. Kiss your wife and get straightened out, man. I'm gonna straighten you out.
Right on, man. No. I'm gonna do my homework. But I want you to do your homework. Find me Hall of Famer with those kind of numbers. And I will completely shut down my argument. I won't bring it up one more time. If you find me Hall of Famers with two back-to-back seasons with less than 300 yards,
mission
I won't
accomplished.
Say another word about it.
Mission accomplished.
Right on.
We'll talk next week. Enjoy the game, man.
You too, man.
Later.
Peace.